Us. I'm Katie Weaver.
This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. Britain on Saturday acclaimed a historic action plan by G7 nations to prevent future pandemics as the group showcases U.S.-led unity against China and Russia at its first in-person summit in almost 2 years. Collective steps include slashing the time taken to develop and license vaccines, treatments, and diagnostics for any future disease, while reinforcing global surveillance networks. World Health Organization Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is welcoming the health pact, and he says the UN agency will examine a British proposal to create a global pandemic radar to send early warnings of future outbreaks. However, aid charity Oxfam says the declaration does nothing to address the fundamental problems that are preventing vaccines being accessible to the vast majority of humanity. The declaration will be finalized Sunday, according to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, as he chairs the second day of a 3-day summit. The G7, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United States are largely focused on building back better after COVID-19 wrecked economies and claimed millions of lives around the world. The agenda broadened Saturday to foreign policy issues, as the G7 was joined by the leaders of Australia, South Africa, and South Korea, with India taking part remotely. Russia's National Coronavirus Task Force on Saturday reported that the country's tally of daily new infections has risen by 50% over the past week and more than doubled in Moscow. Faced with the spiking figures, Moscow authorities said enforcement of mask and glove wearing on mass transit, in stores, and in other public places would be strengthened, and that violators could face fines of up to 5,000 rubles, or about $70. This is VOA News. Saudi Arabia announced Saturday it will allow 60,000 vaccinated residents of the kingdom to perform the annual Hajj, according to state media. The Hajj ministry said this year's pilgrimage would be, quote, open for nationals and residents of the kingdom, limited to 60,000 pilgrims. The pilgrimage scheduled to be held at the end of July would be limited to those who have been vaccinated and are below 65 years of age with no chronic illnesses, according to the official Saudi press agency. It'll be the second year in a row that the kingdom hosts a downscaled Hajj amid the coronavirus pandemic. The Hajj is a must for able-bodied Muslims at least once in their lifetime and typically packs millions of pilgrims into congested religious sites and could be a major source of contagion. Only up to 10,000 Muslims took part last year, a far cry from 2.5 million who participated in the 5-day annual pilgrimage in 2019. Britain's Queen Elizabeth viewed a scaled-down military ceremony at Windsor Castle to mark her official birthday on Saturday, her first since the death of her husband, Prince Philip, 2 months ago. The 95-year-old monarch was accompanied by her cousin, Prince Edward, the Duke of Kent, for a socially distanced version of the Trooping the Colour, a ceremony which has been staged for more than 260 years. Philip, Elizabeth's husband for more than 70 years, died in April. The event comes a day after the Queen hosted leaders of the Group of Seven Rich Nations for a reception in Cornwall, southwest England, where they're holding a 3-day summit. On Sunday, the Queen will also meet U.S. President Joe Biden and his wife Jill for tea at Windsor before he heads off for further meetings in Europe. Myanmar's junta on Saturday accused some of the country's 24 ethnic armed groups of providing training to its opponents to carry out a wave of bombings that it said targeted public buildings, including schools. Bomb attacks have become a daily occurrence as the army struggles to impose authority after seizing power from elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi in February. At a news conference, a junta spokesman identified 3 ethnic armed groups he said had provided training to quote-unquote terrorists. He says authorities' information that ethnic armed organizations were giving training came from people who had been arrested and equipment captured. Some of the ethnic armed groups, which have been fighting for decades for greater autonomy, have been in a shaky ceasefire, but that has frayed since the coup, with some of the groups openly backing anti-junta protesters. Meanwhile, new armed groups have sprung up in parts of the country to oppose military. Find more on these stories and the rest of the day's news at VOA. Or you can follow us on the VOA mobile app. Reporting by remote,